ask you this. Let me ask you this.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Sports Central. Chicago Sports Conversation with Adam Hogue.
Go, go, go.
This is Sports Central. Go. On demand and streaming live on WGNRadio.com.
What's up? Welcome in. This is Sports Central, Thursday, March 1st, 2018. Back from Indianapolis, a short trip at the NFL Combine, but a lot to talk about from the Bears yesterday. And another guy who was there, wanted to bring him in for the show. He'll be with us for the whole hour today. Jared Payton was also in Indy with me yesterday. What's going on, JP?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Did you recover from our St. Elmo's dinner two nights ago?
How amazing was that, right? I mean, we got to tell the story. We have to tell the story. If it's not now, we have to tell it before the show.
We can do it right now. We could start the show with the story.
All right. So I'll let you start off of the bet and what happened, and I'll take over from when I texted you from being on air.
Go ahead. So you, me, and Ike Isaac, the great cameraman at WGN TV, are watching OTAs, right? It was either OTAs or minicamp. Back in this last summer, whatever it was, some meaningless Bears practice, the day that they announced that they were releasing Connor Shaw. Okay? And Ike loved Connor Shaw. And he was like, man, I can't believe they're releasing him. He's going to be really good somewhere else. And I said, Ike, I guarantee you he will never start a game in the NFL. And he wanted to bet on it. So we shook hands, steak dinner bet, and if he had ever started a game in the NFL, which I felt pretty confident he never would, I would have paid up. And then I didn't know how to really handle the part. You know, how long do you wait before Connor Shaw? How many chances you give him? But he's already out of the league. He's already accepted a college coaching job somewhere. So it's official. He's not going to start a game in the NFL. You can take over from there.
Okay, so then we were just putting together, we were down in Indy, we were doing my sports feed show, and by the time we got done and we were packing up, Ike looks at me and he goes, where's Adam? And I said, I have no clue where Adam is, so let me text him real quick. And I texted Adam, he said, I'm going to be there pretty soon, I'm getting gas, I'll be there, ETA is at 8:30. So I said, all right, I said, we're going to go out and get a steak. Ike wants to pay up his bet. And he goes, ha, 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 really? And I said, we're going to St. Elmo's. Now, if anybody doesn't know about St. Elmo's, it is an expensive, nice place where you have to be suited and zooted to be able to sit down, right? And then, Hogue, I didn't hear from him. So we're sitting down, eating, about to order, and having a couple of water. And then next thing you know, Adam texted me. I said, get down here now. Ike says he's going to pay up. Adam comes down. He gets to the restaurant, texts me, I go get him, we sit down, and Adam has the biggest steak that I've ever seen in my entire life. It was huge.
That's the only way they serve them there. You can't get them any smaller.
It was enormous, and Ike paid up his bet at St. Elmo's when there was a Steak and Shake right across the street.
Which I would have been fine with. So, first of all, this day and age, most people are not even paying up their bets.
No.
Not only does Ike pay up, but he does it at the nicest steak joint in Indianapolis. So talk about respect.
It was good. And we had fun. We had a good time, too, man. We had a really, really good time.
Yeah. In terms of the bet, it's just fantastic. The whole thing is just it's a great story.
It's the stupidest bet ever.
Joe, don't you think we should turn into like a mini movie? Right?
Yeah. You can star in it, JP.
I mean, I have to star, and I got to play myself.
You do. So that was Tuesday night, a nice little evening in Indianapolis. And then yesterday, Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, actual work to do as those guys met with the media. Plenty of football on today's show. Let's jump in right with our lead.
Now that I've been almost, 2 months into this thing, it's real. And so he makes it easy for me because there might be some things that we disagree slightly on here or there, which is normal. But at the same time, we both respect each other. And honestly, there hasn't been too many disagreements. It's been more togetherness. And his communication is really second to none. And I appreciate that. And it's reciprocated from me to him. And when you have that, you get that partnership and that relationship, which is what we looked for in that interview.
One thing that's been very evident early on with Matt Nagy, JP, is that he and Ryan Pace really feel like a true partnership. They clearly get along. They seem like similar people. They have similar football ideals. And that's going to go a long way in making sure that things are headed in the right direction, because it's no secret anymore that at least by probably the middle of the John Fox era, but definitely by year three, once the Bears drafted Mitch Trubisky, that those two were not really on the same page.
Oh, definitely. I think that was pretty much the issue. You start to look at what you're trying to do as an organization and trying to move things forward, and if both guys, the GM and the head coach, aren't on the same page, Adam, then you're going to have issues. And it really does sound like Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are on the same page, but now they got to be able to figure it out. I had a chance to see Pace walking around yesterday and talking with him just a little bit, and I said, I wish I could put a camera like above you and Nagy and see what you guys are talking about to figure out like what you're truly looking for to kind of get this organization back to respectability.
And just their tone yesterday, to be honest, and to give them a little bit of slack, the press conferences this time of year, you're talking about a couple weeks before free agency in a setting where everybody's worried about tipping their hand when it comes to the NFL draft. Basically, the entire league talks in Indianapolis. All the GMs, all the head coaches, with a few exceptions, because they're not required to talk. And most of them are in a position where they can't really say much. So I appreciated the honesty from Ryan Pace yesterday, admitting that they're going to release Mike Glennon. It would have sounded silly if they tried to, you know, claim like they were still deciding, because why would you not release Mike Glennon? And so I don't know that Matt Nagy gave us a whole lot. It's one of his first press conferences as Bears head coach, just a second one, really. So, but, you know, in a tough spot, I felt a different vibe with those guys, certainly moving on from what was a tough 3 years with John Fox.
Oh, definitely. I love what Nagy was. I mean, yeah, we didn't get a lot, Hogue, but just the way that he is with the media, a lot different than John Fox. So it's something to, you know, look forward to as we get a chance to be able to cover this team.
So let's talk about some of the news first. We'll talk about Glennon in a second, but I still think Kyle Fuller is priority number one with this team right now, at least on the to-do list. You have to figure this out right now. And I'll just bring you some of my own reporting here, talking to some people in Indianapolis yesterday, trying to get a vibe on what could happen here. And by the way, I have a full 10 Bears Things column up on WGNradio.com. We have a new podcast, Hogue and Johns. And Adam Johns is going to join us here, too, in about 10 minutes. But you can check out some more information on Kyle Fuller and plenty of other things there. With Kyle right now, there's been some reports that the Bears won't use the franchise tag on him. My understanding is it's still a possibility. It's still in play. These two, here's a big difference, and maybe is the most important thing to get out there right away. Last year with Alshon Jeffrey, both sides kind of talked around things until he eventually left. There was really not mutual interest in remaining a partnership there. This time around, the vibe I get, my understanding is that there is mutual interest. I think there's a gap between how each side values the player, but there is mutual interest in staying together. That's important here. So the tag is sort of the middle ground. And one of the reasons why I believe it's still in play is because if they cannot come to an agreement by Tuesday, 3 p.m., that's the tag deadline. That's when the Bears must tag him. Then that they can still use that tag to ensure Kyle Fuller is a Bear in 2018 while still working towards an agreement. Just because the tag is placed does not mean that the player has to sign it right away. They can still negotiate. So that is one area where I still think it's in play, and I think that both sides would prefer not to be under the tag. I think, obviously, if you're paying $15 million, no one's going to argue that $15 million, right, JP, is too much for Kyle Fuller.
It's a lot.
For 2018. And on Kyle Fuller's side, while you'd love to make that much money, you'd also like the long-term a benefit of having a you know, 4 or 5 year deal or whatever it is. My guess it'll be 4 if they come to an agreement. So both sides are motivated, I think, to avoid the tag, but it could still be used as a tool here to make sure that they stay together, because I do think there is mutual interest.
Well, I mean, just to hear that the talks were aggressive and they're still ongoing, I think yesterday, to me, just shows that there, at least there's conversation. You know, in the Alshon Jeffrey situation, like you talked about, those things were kind of, looked like the bridge was already burned. And so now you look at a guy, Hogue, that had a big jump in 2017 in the terms of his production. Could have been better, but when you look at what the Bears had, it definitely was a lot better. $15 million for 1 year is a lot. If I was Kyle Fuller and in his situation, I definitely want the years just to have a little bit more security, because we know every time you step in between those white lines, anything can happen.
So some other insight I had in my 10 Bears things, just in terms of money. Here's the thing about the combine. There's so much focus on the draft prospects, and obviously that's a huge part of this thing. But with all the GMs and all the agents, like there's a big agent meeting that goes on today in Indianapolis. With everyone there, this is where the groundwork is really laid for free agency, too, here in a couple weeks. So numbers start to get thrown out there. You start to get an idea of a player's value. I had the number 10 million, if we're talking about per year averages, thrown out to me yesterday in terms of Kyle Fuller. Interesting number. Still seems maybe even a little bit high. I don't know. But it would put Kyle right out, if you compare it to the other cornerbacks in the league, you would put him right outside the top 10. That actually seems kind of fair. He's probably not a top 10 corner, but given how he played last year, I can see how he can get right in that area. How does that number sound to you in terms of where Kyle would rank as a cornerback in the league?
Last year, what, Stephon Gilmore, what, $13 million? A.J. Boye, $13.5
million? Yeah, we're talking 10? Per year, yeah.
Per year, yeah. I mean, why 10 sounds fair? I mean, doesn't it? To me, I think 10 is fine. 15 is just way too much.
Right. So that's at least what I know right now. We're going to have to wait. I think this thing's fluid. And that's what I mentioned in my 10 Bears thing. It's fluid. Everybody wants an answer right now. I don't know that we can come out and definitively say it. Kyle Fuller will be a Bear in 2018, or he won't be a Bear in 2018. My guess is if you had to make me pick right now, I think that either with the tag or without the tag, I would say it's 65-70% that he would be a Bear. Leaning that way.
I'll take that. It's a good percentage right there. I'll take it.
All right. What was your favorite part of Mike Glennon's year with the Bears?
Probably the Packer game.
What? Because you knew that it was over?
Yeah, because you remember you tweeted something, and remember you were sitting, and I saw it, and next thing you know, that was also the game where...
Oh, what was that tweet?
I forgot that tweet, and then there was another tweet with them and Butterfingers, right?
Oh, yeah, that was the night the Bears got in a fight with Butterfinger on social media in the middle of the game.
That was amazing.
Which pretty much told you everything you needed to know about where the franchise was that night. I mean, you're getting embarrassed on the field and embarrassed on social media by a candy bar.
Yep, I love it. That was my favorite.
What was that tweet? We got to find that by the end of the show. Because I know what you're talking about. You actually, like, you were sitting behind me.
Yeah.
And you, like, made it some kind of noise.
And I like, came down there. I was like, dang, Hogue, like, you firing shots over here, man.
Whatever it was, I still think it was a fair shot.
I think they're all fair shots. But I don't think we ever go too crazy.
But it was definitely fire.
Yeah, it has to be. And then we went back and...
It was something like... Because remember, we had the weather delay. And I was actually thinking during the weather delay, like, hey, the Bears might still be in this game if they change quarterbacks. And then, nope, Mike Glennon came out there. And I think I tweeted something like, not even God could prevent Mike Glennon from taking the field.
It was something like that.
Something like that.
As we were eating brats. I mean, it was amazing.
Oh, the food in Lambeau is the best every year.
You gotta love it.
It's the best. So a little bit of news today coming out of Indy. We'll ask Adam Johns about this coming up here in a few minutes. But the Kansas City general manager, talking to the media today, was asked about Albert Wilson, a wide receiver for the Chiefs, who's a pending free agent. And he answered it in a very weird way by immediately bringing up the connection to Matt Nagy. saying, well, Matt Nagy's in Chicago now.
Yep.
Well, that seems to be a pretty strong connection to the Chicago Bears and potentially Albert Wilson being somebody that the Bears target in free agency. Now, this is a guy who hasn't really put up huge numbers. He's more of a slot guy. He's pretty small, but an undrafted guy at a Georgia State who has made a name for himself and has been a pretty decent player. I don't think he's answering any question, you know, any big questions for the Bears, but I guess I understand it if the Bears go in that direction.
Well, at least he understands the offense, and I think that is one of the things. I mean, I'm still looking for a taller receiver. He's only 5'9", 200 pounds. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, for a guy inside, maybe he would be great, but this team definitely needs that guy, that big number one guy on the outside to be able to go and get the football.
And what's interesting is I actually like Kendall Wright. I thought Kendall Wright had a pretty decent season. If you keep him in that slot and you don't ask him to be more than he really is.
But Albert Wilson has a jump of understanding this offense and probably could come in and be productive right away.
Well, and that's a great point you bring up, JP. And that's really what all jobs in the world are about, are connections, right?
Yep.
And it's no different in the NFL. Big reason why Kendall Wright was even a Bear to begin with is because Dow Loggins had worked with him in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So just because that, Kendall Wright looked decent with the Bears last year in Dow Loggins' offense doesn't mean he'll be a fit in Matt Nagy's offense. So maybe Matt Nagy would prepare to go get this kid he loves out in Kansas City, Albert Wilson. And I certainly understand that logic. Let's talk about some of these numbers, though. 4 years with the Chiefs, you know, kind of a part-time player, has dealt with a few injuries, and the most he's put up in a season was last year, 42 catches, 554 yards. So we're not talking about a major difference maker here.
No. We're talking about a guy that started 26 out of, what, 55 games? I mean, there's still, I think that's the hard part about free agency, man, is you're getting somebody that probably that other team doesn't want, right? For some reason. There's some reason why it doesn't work out. So you have to figure out and hope and pray. And Adam, you listened to Adam yesterday. That was one of the big things that I heard, and I love to be able to hear it from Ryan Pace, is that it's always risky in free agency.
Yeah. And he even made the point that you're signing a guy that, you know, is a lot of times they're leaving for a reason. That
yeah.
team might not want him for a reason. All right, let's bring in Adam Johns, who's still in Indianapolis, co-host of the Hogan Johns podcast. We recorded an episode yesterday in Indy. He's still there. What's going on today in Indy, Adam?
I miss you guys. You're missing all the fun here in Indiana. It's rainy. Not snowy, but very rainy, Indy.
It's rainy here. Where'd you guys eat last night?
We went to Harry and Izzy's, the offspring of the famous St. Elmo Steakhouse. So, yeah, come to Indianapolis and have a good steak. Maybe more than once. That's what you do when you come down here.
You got to.
Harry and Izzy's has the great prime rib sandwich. Like, if you don't want to go with the steak, you can still get the good, tasty meat in the sandwich form for a lot less money. I like that. I would have been fine, JP, if Ike had just, you know, we had gone that route. That would have been cool with me.
See, I went the pork chops, you know, just
yeah.
because those were a little bit less. They're only $24.
Yeah. What'd you make of this Albert Wilson revelation today from the Kansas City GM?
You see, I heard you guys talking, kind of leading me in there. I don't think it's much of a risk, you know. There's certain players who are more risky than others, but Pace has always tried to have a connection with players, you know, to have a familiar feel with the player. Like Danny Trevathan is an obvious example. Akeem Hicks is an obvious example. Akeem Hicks came from New Orleans, where Ryan Pace was. Danny Trevathan came from the Broncos, which where John Fox was. Yeah, Albert Wilson is coming from the Chiefs, where Matt Nagy was. So it makes sense. If anybody has a good idea of who this kid is on and off the field, it's Matt Nagy, obviously being the former Chiefs offensive coordinator. I like the interest. I think it's a positive to bring somebody in who understands what you want to do offensively, who already understands the verbiage. And you can have a brand new receivers room. To have somebody, even this as young as Albert Wilson is, to come in there and to help others. Talk about Cam Meredith even understand, you know, the route running and you know, the timing of certain throws that they want to run and execute. I think it's all positive.
Johns, you know, we always were, since the hire of Matt Nagy, everybody's always talked about that, you know, once Vic Fangio came back in the fold, that everything was going to be good. He would just have to focus on just the offense and let Vic do the defense. But yesterday he made the comment about how, being a head coach, you got everything on your plate now, and that he truly enjoys it. Don't you see that being a process for him, to going through this whole entire thing as a first-year head coach?
Yeah, I think even him just, you know, walking the hallways of the Indiana Convention Center. I mean, this is going to sound like an odd anecdote, but like, you are the man now. People are going to come up to you, whether they're selling fitness equipment, whether it's a reporter, you know, from Kansas City to Chicago to some national guys. You're the center of attention now in Chicago, and I think that's an adjustment for him, to be sought after by everybody here, to be on camera, to talk on camera, to, you know, do Good Morning Football at NFL Network, to, you know, to go to a car wash and do all these things in the media. I mean, that's why I think he likes having Brad Childress around, to not only help him and guide him through some of those things, because Brad Childress has done it all before, but to help handle some of the additional responsibilities of installing his offense when he can't do everything.
Adam Johns in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. Adam, what's your vibe on the Kyle Fuller situation right now? It seems to be pretty split, and not many people seem to know what's going to happen here. Whereas, you know, I think this time last year with Alshon Jeffery, we had a pretty good idea he was moving on.
Yeah. I think the situations are very comparable, because you have a player, a high round pick player, who wasn't drafted by Ryan Pace, who has had some production, who is talented, who is probably sought after by other teams for various reasons. Again, we got to mention the talent. There's a considerable amount of talent that the Kyle Fuller, former first round pick, has. And even what John Fox would say, like, you know, you want first round picks on your roster. And for Ryan Pace to say goodbye to another, I mean, Adam, you and I have talked about this. This is bad business. But I think there's more common ground between Kyle Fuller and the Bears than there was with Alshon Jeffery and the Bears. I think the Bears were still very much in flux, especially offensively, last year. They didn't know what they were going to quite be with Dell Loggins. They didn't know who their quarterback was going to be. Jay Cutler, at this time at the Combine, was still on the roster. So there was a lot of uncertain feelings for Alshon Jeffery to consider about the Bears offensively. Now, with Fangio back, and now with the entire defensive staff back, and a lot of the same players, the same starters returning, I think there is more certainty about the situation for Kyle Fuller. And I've said this before, Adam, we talked about this on our podcast. I think Kyle Fuller knows that playing for Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell could be what's best for him as a player.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, if I was him, that's one of the things that I would think about. It's Vic Fangio's being able to always bring the best out of players that are in his system, and that's the one thing that I love the most. But defensively, Johns, yesterday, I mean, you start to think about it, Willie Young out of the fold, Pernell McPhee out of the fold. Outside linebacker has become a very a big position of need for this defense and this football team.
Yeah, I would even put it up, JP, over cornerback. I would put it up over wide receiver. And I know wide receiver is like the most popular one to mention, because you have Mr. Trubisky. You've got to throw the ball to somebody, right? But you need to get after the passer. It's a preeminent position, pass rushers, right? You know, that's why these guys get paid the most. And right now you have Leonard Floyd, and basically that is it. And he's got to prove that he can stay healthy. Yes, he has immense talent, but he can't even stay on the field for a full 16 games. So that, to me, is their biggest concern. That, to me, should be where they spend money in free agency. That's where they should spend draft capital. That's their biggest concern by far. I understand all the moves they're making. I really do. It sets up perfectly for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy to add a lot of new pieces to their team together. Kyle Long is now the oldest player on this roster, 29 years old. So the youth movement is in full effect. The rebuild is reaching a completely new level. But all that said, there is a lot of pressure on Ryan Pace to address pass rusher, one of the most important positions in football.
Yeah, last night I looked at my depth chart, crossed off Willie Young, and I'm going Leonard Floyd, Isaiah Irving, and Howard Jones.
And he's a free agent.
That's it. I mean,
yes.
That's all you have on the roster.
Goodness.
Right now at the pass rush, which is the most important aspect of the defense, rushing the quarterback. That's what it's all about in the NFL. It's play well at quarterback and get after the quarterback on the other side of the ball. They have a lot of work to do. And if you look at this free agent list, I don't see anybody on that list that I'd rather have over Leonard Floyd. So I'm just saying that puts a lot of pressure on Leonard, whoever they end up signing. You know they're going to sign one, two, three guys. Leonard Floyd, to me, is most likely still going to be the best of that bunch. So unless they're pulling off some kind of big trade that we're not really thinking about, and I'd be surprised because that would cost you draft picks, or they draft Bradley Chubb, which is, I think, a real possibility if he falls to number eight now, just given the importance of the position.
Yeah.
Leonard Floyd, man, he needs to have a big season, and he needs to stay healthy.
Yeah, weren't some people talking here about maybe with Muhammad Wilkerson being available, if you can't get an edge rusher, maybe you find another big brute who has played, you know, the five tech a little bit, who could give you an inside push next to a key mix. But you have other questions. You talk about the dangers of free agency. Muhammad Wilkerson would completely fit that. You don't know what type of – you don't know where he's at. He just tailed off. He wasn't the dominant player that he was last year. You know, he's one of those classic cases. Got his contract and his production tailed off. So what does that say about the player? I mean, that is one of those risky decisions that have to be weighed by general managers, especially Ryan Pace, when you're looking at adding defensive pieces to your team. But you're right. When you look at outside linebackers, edge rushers, whatever you want to call it, for the Bears this year in free agency, they're not there. That's why you look at cornerback. You know, you got to spend money there because obviously that's where some big names are. But you look at outside linebacker, you better hope that a Bradley Chubb, you better hope that there's a run of quarterbacks in the draft so you get one of these great defensive players to fall to you at number eight.
Yeah, that's what you need. I mean, and, you know, offensively, everybody's been talking about Quentin Nelson if he's going to be there at eight, and, you know, you get rid of Josh Sitton. I think the big question mark for me, Johns, is how healthy Kyle Long can be. Can he go an entire season? He is such a big part of that Bears offensive line.
Yeah, he's missed a lot of starts, JP. A lot of starts. And when you're when one of your most valuable players has neck surgery, has shoulder surgery, is coming off a serious ankle injury, I think he had a broken bone in his hand or something like that. I mean, he's just been mauled. I mean, this is a mauler who has been mauled the past couple of years. It's just bad luck, I think. I think he's a tough player. He obviously played through the torn labrum in the shoulder for a long time. I mean, this guy didn't even have a brace. That's how tough he is. That's how unconcerned he was, you know, about inflicting a little bit more harm. But now he's supposed to be ready by training camp. I know they're going to, you know, slow play this, and they should slow play this because he's so valuable. You need him to get as close to 100% healthy, you know, as close, you know, to being the player he was before. I try to look at positive situations like this because that's what teams try to do too. I think you're going to have a player who's going to have to learn to be more fundamentally sound, to really put an emphasis on those because he is such God-given talent, JP. We know it. You see it. I mean, he's a freak athlete, and he has benefited. He has excelled because of that athleticism. But now it's his athleticism because of his body being just ravaged. You know, it's taken. It's not where it used to be. So now he's got to learn to be more technically sound. So that's the flip side, the positive side. That's what you try to spin this as for Kyle Long.
You know, I was thinking about this morning. And it's just a simple math game with the draft. I think this is setting up really, really well for Ryan Pace and the Bears because, and the biggest reason why is because they drafted their quarterback last year. So they don't have to worry about being in this group of teams, a large group of teams that are all going to be searching for in what is considered a good quarterback class, one of these guys. So we've talked about it a lot. Could four quarterbacks go in the top eight? Well, if that happens, that sets up great for the Bears, especially because just from my own evaluations, there's four guys I love. There's Bradley Chubb, there's Saquon Barkley, there's Quentin Nelson, and there's Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Oh, man.
So that guarantees that the Bears are getting one of those guys. And even, you know, beyond that, I love Roquan Smith, too, from Georgia, the linebacker. So
he's a beast.
They're getting to me a great player if that happens. Now, let's say it doesn't happen. Let's say the quarterbacks fall a little bit more. Those players I love get drafted in the top seven. Well, someone's trading up at that point for one of the quarterbacks, don't you think? Yeah. So either they're getting a great player, or I think they're going to have the opportunity to actually trade back and add picks, and they're going to get a lot because we saw what teams who traded up last year for quarterbacks gave up.
Yeah, one might say that the actual value for the quarterbacks, it's probably later in the first round. But Adam, you and I, JP, we know. There's like two drafts. There's a draft for quarterbacks, and there's a draft for everybody else. The sense of urgency for getting that quarterback, the competition to get that quarterback, it causes you to do all sorts of crazy things. It causes you to give up a bunch of picks. It causes you to get frantic. It causes you to you have to take risks. I mean, that's what comes with it. And I think the Bears set up great. You have four quarterbacks. Even I think Lamar Jackson is even causing a bit more buzz here in Indianapolis, and I think he deserves it. I think he is a quarterback. I think he deserves to be fairly treated as a quarterback. I think he's a very good and talented quarterback. You know, if these guys are so offensively minded now in the NFL, you know, they should be able to find a place for Lamar Jackson in the NFL. I mean, Andy Reid said it best. You know, I would start there and then try something else with him. So I would even stretch that to five, maybe first-round quarterbacks. All it takes is one team, right, to change everything like the Bears did, and then you set off all a bunch of other moves. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but you're right, Adam. You kept naming off all those names of all those players at all those different positions. The Bears will have a chance to pick one of the best players from their respective positions, whether it's Chubb, Nelson, Fitzpatrick. I mean, these are the best players, some of them by far, at their respective positions. And one of them, maybe two of them or three of them, will be there for their selection at number eight if they stick with that pick.
All right, Hogue, Johns, after yesterday's press conference with Ryan Pace, I walked away and the first thing I was thinking of is that this team has a lot of holes to fill. And to hear Jordan Howard have a lot of confidence, and rightfully so, to say that this team is close and going to get to the playoffs, I want to know, Johns, what your thought was when Jordan Howard made that statement.
You know, I like it. But I've always been of the mindset that these turnarounds happen quite quickly in the NFL. Now, are they going to go 10-6? I don't know, but I don't know why 8-8 should be out of the question, or 9-7 should be out of the question. These turnarounds happen all the time. Is it unfair to, or is it bad to expect, or should you expect a Rams-like turnaround? You know, probably not. You know, those things don't happen often, and that was Jared Goff's. I mean, it's things seem to click, and they made a lot of right moves around him, to make that work. And the Bears execute a similar plan this year. It remains to be seen. But these turnaround stories, JP, you know it. Yeah. They happen all the time in the NFL. And I do think the Bears have a good, young, strong nucleus being formed. I do think they have some good young players worthy of second contracts already. And I do think the rebuild is taking another step in terms of just whether it's shedding contracts or, you know, making decisions to build around certain players. And, of course, it all starts with Mitch Trubisky, but I like the confidence. You have to love the confidence if you're the Bears. You should make Jordan Howard, you know, live by those words. His work ethic should match his words, you know, and he should be a leader in that sense. But if you're Matt Nagy, if you're Ryan Pace, and you have players making predictions like that, you try to embrace it. You have to embrace it. You got to have this turnaround happen sooner than later.
Yeah, and they might. The big difference this year is they might have their quarterback, which they haven't been able to say for a really, really long time, and that gives you a little bit of difference in energy, right, in an off season. So I think the Bears are sitting in a good spot there. Adam John's sitting in a pretty good spot in Indianapolis too at the NFL Combine. Thanks for jumping on, buddy.
See you, fellas.
All right. Follow him on Twitter at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. And again, new Hogan Johns podcast up yesterday. If you haven't seen it yet, it's on WGNradio.com, on iTunes, on the Google Play Store. Just search Hogue and Johns. All right. We're going to switch topics a little bit here. The Big Ten Tournament. kind of a weird Big Ten tournament this year, happening at Madison Square Garden right now. Dave Ennett will join us next. He is there with Northwestern. Northwestern plays Penn State later on today right here on WGN. He'll jump on with us next year on Sports Central.
All right, let's continue this love fest.
There it is.
It's Sports Central with Adam Hoge.
No big deal.
On demand and in real time on WGNradio.com.
All right, back here on Sports Central, Adam Hoge and Jared Payton here today. And the Big Ten tournament is underway in New York City for the first time. Madison Square Garden with Wisconsin. Well, there are a couple games yesterday. Illinois lost yesterday. Today, Wisconsin beating Maryland in the early game. Iowa and Michigan about to get underway. And later on today, right here on WGN Radio, Northwestern takes on Penn State. Dave Ennett, of course, is in New York at Madison Square Garden getting ready for Northwestern's game today. Hey, Dave.
Adam, how you doing? JP?
How you doing?
What is the vibe at Madison Square Garden with the Big Ten in town for the first time? Because it all seems a little bit awkward.
Well, it's a little bit different than what we've become used to the first two decades of this tournament. I was walking up 8th Avenue from the Garden back to our hotel yesterday afternoon, and I saw, I think, two people in Big Ten garb, in Big Ten apparel, walking towards Madison Square Garden. And that's unusual. I mean, you know, Adam, and I mean, you've been around it, whether it was at the United Center in Indianapolis, you would see throngs of fans decked out in their team's regalia. Now, granted, the first day, it's a little bit different, and I actually heading over to the Garden shortly, and there looks to be more fans there today than there were yesterday. Maryland, which is only, about 4 hours away, or depending on what part of the state you're in, even less than that, they had a decent turnout for their game with Wisconsin. Wisconsin tends to travel well. They did have some representation there, but I mean, it's not quite the electricity, I think, that you've seen sometimes, because let's face it, there's so much going on in this city. As great a basketball tradition as there is in Madison Square Garden as in New York, it just feels different.
Yeah, it's got to feel different, but it's got to feel cool to play at MSG. But tonight, sounds like Vic Law won't be playing tonight, or will he be playing in the whole Big Ten tournament, Dave?
No, I don't think we're going to see him, Jared, and certainly that's a big setback for Northwestern. He didn't play the last couple of games of the regular season. And injuries have taken a toll on this team. I mean, it's not the entire explanation for the season they had and the disappointing season they had. But I do think that the way they finished the year, I think, can be attributed in large part to injuries. And certainly Vic the latest, and Bryant McIntosh is hurting, although I think we're going to see him tonight. So that helps, but we'll see how much he can go. He started the game on Sunday at Iowa and wasn't able to play at all in the second half.
Well, set this game up for us a little bit, Dave, because you got a hungry Penn State team. I guess if you're just kind of looking at this from the outside, you'd say they have more to play for in this game. But what do you expect from Northwestern kind of fighting that today?
Well, you know, I think this is a game that they know they can beat Penn State. They did it in Rosemont. They held the Nittany Lions the final 10 minutes and 37 seconds of that game without a field goal. But again, that was with Vic Law. However, you know, Penn State also has a very significant injury they're dealing with, and that's their big man, Mike Watkins, who is not expected to play tonight. And so that's a big loss for them. The problem for Northwestern is that Penn State, one, has a lot of scoring options with Tony Carr, the leading scorer for the Big Ten, averaging about 20 points a game. And you've got Shep Garner, who burned the Cats with 6 three-pointers in the game at Rosemont. Lamar Stevens, who had a career night against Northwestern in State College. So they've got guys who can score. And also, they're the top ball-hawking team in the Big Ten. They one of the best in the nation. They lead the conference in steals, and Josh Reeves is a guy who gets his hand on a lot of balls and comes away with a lot of them. He had 7 against Nebraska on Sunday. So, you know, I think those two factors loom pretty large in this game, but I think it's possible that with the absence of Mike Watkins, Penn State becomes a smaller team. Northwestern, with Derek Pardon, you know, probably gets a bit of an advantage inside against Penn State in this situation. And if Pardon has a big game, then Northwestern can win. But if McIntosh can't play, Law's out, and if Scotty Lindsey doesn't have a game like he had really the last two games, then the Wildcats could be in trouble.
I think that's probably the hardest. The last time these two teams played, Dave, on the offensive boards, that's where you saw just Northwestern dominate. They had like 13 boards on the offensive side. If they have to play small, that might be an advantage for Northwestern going into this game.
Well, it could be, Jared, and I think that, you know, it's one of those things. Northwestern can play small too, you know, I think that with Derek, and I'll tell you something else that we saw on Sunday against Iowa that, you know, I guess kind of got overlooked because Iowa was blowing the game open in the first half and Northwestern made a rally in the second half. But for just the second time all year, Chris Collins played Derek Pardon and Barrett Benson, the 7-foot sophomore, together. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we see that again this evening, because I think he liked the way Barrett played. I think he liked the two of them in there together. And he's tried to play different guys at the four spot this year. Gavin Skelly has started most of the games. Aaron Falzone has come in, and those two have sort of shared that position a lot. But, you know, we'll see what happens tonight. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see more of that tandem in there against Penn State. I really think this is a game that you look at it and you say Northwestern, when they were playing well this season, they were healthy. This was a game that they certainly, now they did beat Penn State, but I think you would come into the tournament and said this is a game they can win. And I do think it's a game they can win. Having said that, Penn State has had some tremendous wins this year. They're the only team. They beat Ohio State twice. You know, beat them in Columbus, and then they really mauled them in State College. So it's a good Penn State team, and they're playing with some desperation, guys, because they know if they don't win this game, then their NCAA tournament chances are out for good. So they really need this game. Northwestern, even if they win today, it gets them a matchup tomorrow with Ohio State, a game they played close in Rosemont, but again, that was with a full complement of guys. So, you know, we'll see. But I think it'll be a pretty good game. I think that I don't see any reason Northwestern won't hang in there with Penn State and then take your chances. As we saw in that Maryland-Wisconsin game, comes down to a one-possession game at the end. Who knows?
Dave, it's, just to clarify, is the door completely shut on a postseason tournament for Northwestern? Can they still play their way into something with a run this weekend?
Well, I mean, yeah, if they win this tournament, if they're this year's Michigan, then they go to the NCAA tournament. But shy of that, Adam, you don't really know for sure the way the NIT works these days, because it depends on upsets in conference tournaments to a large part, because that helps determine the regular season conference champs. If they get knocked out of the conference tournament, they go to the NIT. So a lot of those slots, which in the past would have gone to a team, a team, say, from a Power 5 conference that had a good year, but maybe not a good enough year to get to the NCAA, they would have ended up in the NIT. It doesn't work that way anymore. The other thing to keep in mind is that Northwestern is under 500 right now,
right,
for the first time this year. So they would... Could they win a few games here and play their way into the NIT? I guess it's possible, but I'm not even sure they can think in those terms right now. They just have to figure out how to get through this game tonight and get a shot at the Buckeyes tomorrow.
Wow. Well, the game's at 5:30 right here on WGN. Pregame 5:15, right, Dave?
5:15, and if the Cats win tonight, then we'll do it again at the same time tomorrow night against the Buckeyes.
All right, and if they win, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Otherwise, enjoy your time in New York and enjoy the chicken parm.
Yeah, that's you can explain that at your leisure.
I will.
All right, fellas.
Bye, Dave. Yeah, a little bit of an inside joke there from a past bowl trip that we had. I'll tell a story real quick. We went to a Italian restaurant, a nice Italian restaurant there when we were there for the Pinstripe Bowl, and Dave had gotten the recommendation and said, you have to go to this place and get the chicken parm. And the chicken parm is $36 on the menu.
Goodness.
And you're like, how could chicken parm possibly cost $36? And then they're like, well, just so you know, it's like a huge like family helping. Like, it serves the whole table. Like, oh, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. Well, or they didn't say the whole table. They said, like, it'll serve two people. That's what they said.
Okay.
So we're at this dinner with like 8-10 people, and like we must have ordered four for the table. It comes out, it's a pizza. It's like a chicken barn pizza that could feed the whole table by itself. So we leave with like two boxes of this, you know, basically chicken barn pizza. And each one costs $36. And we're like, what? Who invented this? Like, what? I ended up giving one to a homeless girl that was on the street because I was like, what am I going to do? Bring this back to my hotel? And it was, I don't know. So anyway, Dave walked by the place yesterday and texted me a photo of the place.
I got to love that.
Get that $36. I think it says on the menu it's called Quality Chicken Parm.
Goodness. Enormous
and missing the word pizza. So we'll consider that our first buried headline of the day as we wrap things up here on Sports Central with buried headlines, and got a few things to dive into here. I'll start with a sad story. Actually, Joe handed me a bunch of buried headlines. A lot of these are
don't be too sad.
Kind of sad today, but I was sad to see this today. Jim Kelly, the former Bills quarterback, Hall of Famer, is his cancer has returned. He had been battling oral cancer and had fought it off, but unfortunately, the family released a statement today saying that the oral cancer has returned, so he's going to have to continue that fight. I actually saw Jim Kelly at the Super Bowl, and he was looking pretty good. So
it's one of my favorites, man.
Yeah, really unfortunate news there. Let's see. Otherwise, I saw... This is weird. College football teams can be weird. You know that, Jared?
I've been on one. Go ahead.
How good is Jimbo Fisher? This is from collegefootballtalk.com. The new head coach of the Texas A&M Aggies has yet to coach a game in College Station since leaving Florida State, but there was already a national championship trophy in the football building thanks to him. Texas A&M Chancellor John Sharp presented Fisher with a national championship trophy that will actually serve more as a placeholder for what glory Texas A&M is expecting of their richly paid head coach. The trophy came with a date inscribed in it. Oh, I'm sorry, without a date inscribed in it, so it can be filled in at a later point in time when necessary.
I'm looking at it right now. It's kind of funny. I was wondering why those little spaces were right there.
What does it look like?
It's like it looks like a paperweight type deal.
A paperweight. It's like a fancy football trophy.
It's like right next to a helmet. This should be funny. They're not winning a national championship anytime soon. Sorry.
Yeah, I that just is setting up for disaster there, I think.
Yeah.
Saw this in Sports Illustrated. Fans attending the World Cup in Russia this summer will be allowed to bring narcotics into stadiums.
What?
Russia has provisions allowing people traveling to its member states to bring certain banned substances. Travelers are allowed to declare drugs at customs if they have a doctor's note written in Russian. Marijuana, cocaine, and heroin are among the hundreds of drugs and precursors on the list of substances travelers can declare. If fans are able to get their drugs into Russia, FIFA rules permit them to bring them into the stadiums.
This is not going to turn out that well.
Now I understand why soccer overseas gets so crazy.
It's just insane over there.
When you see those brawls in the stands, like the fields on fire.
Or the flares. There's a bunch of flares and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to love it. Goodness.
What are they doing there? Man, the World Cup's going to be must-watch this year.
We got to go.
Yeah, one problem. The United States... Well, first of all, I am not going to Russia. Sorry, JP. But two, the U.S. didn't make it.
And neither did Italy. Can you believe that?
That is weird.
But Italy did beat the United States in curling.
That doesn't count.
Hey.
We should go curling.
You can go curling. I'll take you.
Everybody's been going curling.
And come to Northbrook.
Yeah. All right, let's do it.
I'm serious. You can come. Well, I'll get you on the ice. It'll be awesome.
All right. I don't need skates. I need them. Some type of shoes, right?
Yeah, yeah. No. Well, no. They give you. You can wear your street shoes, and they give you a little slider that you put over it.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Joe, thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Speaking of the Olympics, the most recent Nielsen report shows an increase of 646,000 NBC Sports Network television homes following its extensive coverage of the Olympics.
Okay.
Don't see many networks adding viewers right now. Everybody's losing them. So, very good month, and according to this release from NBC Sports Net, which you always got to be careful with these release, these ratings releases they send out. Things are always skewed a little bit, but it was NBCSN's best month ever, and it ranked number one among all sports cable networks in the month.
Wow, I watched a lot of it, man. I really did. It was on in my house all the time.
Yeah. I remember, like, the Olympics started. I was like, we'll see. And then what else is on in February? That's the one advantage the Winter Olympics have.
Yes.
There's nothing going on.
I mean, what else are you going to watch?
In the summer, not only are you dealing with other sports, but it's summer. I don't want to sit around at home. I want to be, like, drinking a beer outside or something.
See? With a TV outside so you can watch it.
Yeah, just bring your TV out there.
That's what I'm talking about.
The Boston Red Sox are asking the city of Boston to change Yawkey Way back to its original name, Jersey Street.
Jersey Street.
The name has been under fire for years for its connection to what the team's principal owner has said is the franchise's complicated racial past under former owner Tom Yawkey. The Red Sox filed a petition Wednesday with the City of Boston Public Improvement Commission. Yawkey Way is the street that Fenway Park is on.
Okay.
Yep.
As you do the Barry headlines, I'm actually looking at them. I pull them up.
Okay. You just Google them real quick?
Yeah, I mean, man. Joe, what do you think?
I'd say change it, man.
I mean, if it's racist, then
I mean, why
seems
not?
Like a no-brainer.
It doesn't seem...
Yawkey sounds stupid anyways.
It does. Just change it.
Jersey Way? Is that what they... That was what?
Yeah, they're going to have to come up with something better than that, though.
I mean, let's... How about Nomar Garcia Parra Lane? Yeah,
Nomar. Hey, Nomar.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what it should be. Nomar Lane, and it should be spelled like N-O-M-A-H. Nomar.
You guys ever been to Fenway?
No.
I've seen it many times outside. I've never actually been to a game that I really want to go.
I went in 04. A lot of people thanked me, actually, for breaking the curse. And I was sitting in center field, and there was this kid, probably about 10 years old, yelling at the top of his lungs, "Hey, Noma, you hit it to me. I'll give you a Snickers bar." It was, like, the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Was it Jimmy Fallon?
No. It might have been his brother.
Okay. We should probably get out of here. It's almost 2:00. A lot of fun, JP.
As always, you guys are the best.
I think Joe found our missing tweets that we were looking for.
All right, I got a couple from September 28th, the day the Packers just destroyed.
Oh, don't tell me mine, Joe.
Well, I found Adams. I didn't see your reply, actually.
Okay. I didn't reply.
So here's Adam. At 8:15, he says, "Key question, how much can Mitch Trubisky develop during this lightning delay?" Then, an hour and 13 minutes later, he says, "If the weather delay taught us anything, it's that only God is capable of benching Mike Glennon."
Dude, classic.
Damn,
dude. Classic.
Getting after it. I thought he was a, you know, more of a reporter than a columnist, man. He really went for the throat on that one, didn't he, JP?
He did, man. He went for the jugular.
If only I had more of those.
Goodness. You're so good.
All right. Enough. Love you, JP.
Love you, too,
Fun
man.
Time in Appreciate Indy.
It. Bye, Joe.
Later, buddy.
Jared Payton. Make sure you check out Sports Feed tonight, 6 o'clock, and the WGN TV News at 4. Jared Payton is over there. For us, we'll be back tomorrow. It's Friday. Let's talk some baseball, probably. And what we screw up today, Joe?
Just a quick clarification. We were comparing Kyle Fuller to a couple of cornerbacks. Gilmore signed a 5-year, $65 million deal.
Yeah.
And actually gets a lot of money up front. Last year, he made almost $17 million.
Yeah, they're always. That's why I like to look at average per year, like just how it slots. It's the easiest way to.
Yeah, so his is 13, and then A.J. Bouye, 13 and a half. He actually makes more.
Yeah, he got paid big time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Bears liked both of those guys last year, but they didn't want to give that up. So why would they give that up for Kyle Fuller now?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's what you got to think about. I think $10 million might be the magic number. We'll see, though. All right, we're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow. It'll be Friday. It'll be fun. We'll talk to you then on Sports Central.